Hi, everybody. I just want to give a quick heads up that the audio quality of the podcast is not to the standard that our normal is. We were two guys with one mic before, and we updated and upgraded to have multiple mics, but we went the value method. Unfortunately, the sound quality wasn't what we had hoped it would be. Good news is we've returned those and gotten the proper value of microphones. So going forward, you'll hear much crisper, much better sounding audio quality than this podcast. But otherwise, hang in there for this one for us. We appreciate you and enjoy the podcast. Yes, boss, my name is Laird.
I'm Rafi.
And this is What We Take, the podcast about Toronto, cool stuff, and just living life well, you know? Yeah. Life is good. Life has ups and downs, and I think hopefully we're both in an up right now.
We're just trending up.
Yeah, trending up right now.
Yeah, we're trending up right now.
Exactly.
We're getting them likes.
Yeah.
From life.
Exactly. Getting the likes from life. I love it. I need some more likes in life. I need more thumbs up. Anyway, so first thing I want to talk about is actually, I finally got around to seeing Bandersnatch. Mm. So Bandersnatch, for those who don't know, is a Netflix special that is like a choose your own adventure type movie where you actually make choices and it changes the outcome in the movie. And apparently there's five different outcomes. Mm. Have you?
Yeah, you know, I think too many worlds are colliding right now. I like my games, RPG, where I can choose where to go. I like my Netflix telling me what to watch. Like, come on, bro. I don't need to sit there and start choosing. Oh, where's the controller? Where's the remote? I got a time. Imagine if they have time limits before you. They choose that's, for you. Oh, this, you know what? This is getting too much.
This is getting too intense for me. Just settle down.
After dinner having some wine. Like, can I not watch stuff?
Just like, mindlessly.
Can I just watch stuff? Like, I don't need you to choose stuff for me. I don't need to choose stuff. I just want to watch it.
The other issue is the actual, if you're eating like popcorn or something like that, you can't do that. You can't do that while you're doing choosing because you're fumbling. You're eating your snack.
Yeah.
You're fumbling. And then, you know, it gets all slippery and you have to make your choice. Yeah. It doesn't work out. And then you make the wrong choice.
Yeah,
just, and then your character dies.
Yeah. Or that's not what you really wanted. And you're watching and go, oh, man, I wish I picked the other way. this is not what I want. This is boring. So long story short, I didn't watch it at all.
Hold on. After that rant, you say it without even having experienced it?
Yeah, because I've heard other people, there have been so many reviews. I've heard other people watch it.
Yes.
And I'm just not interested in that life right now. I want my Netflix to just do what it's supposed to do and me to just watch it.
So I actually don't disagree with what your rant is, but I disagree that you've said it without having done it, because it was incredible. It was pretty amazing. It was a new age, state of the art type thing. Asked a bunch of questions, and plus, because it's like a Black Mirror thing, it's even better. Like Black Mirror really questions a lot of society, and so even the messages that were in it were amazing. Mm-hmm. So even if you just watched it for that, but again, I understand you want to do stuff passively, and I had to work myself up to eventually doing it. I'm glad I did it. So I'd recommend it if you haven't tried it, try it, then judge. Unlike Rafi, who just judges.
Yeah. I read them reviews, bro.
Reviews tell you nothing.
Yeah. Like, tell me everything.
Yeah, reviews tell you, sorry, I shouldn't say tell you nothing, but they only tell you a little bit. You got to experience it for yourself.
Nah. Right? Listen, I lead them headlines. I just go with it.
You just... you know, because the public opinion is always right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
The court of public opinion
is always right.
Always guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
No, or it could be always innocent.
Always innocent. In this case, is guilty. Yeah. But the reason why I brought it up, so number one, I thought it was really cool. If you haven't seen it, I'd say give it a shot, then make your judgment, but it was worth it to me. I just had to work myself up mentally to do it. But one of the themes that it talked about was the concept of, you know, other people or other things making choices for you. Mm. And that was what one of the really cool questioning of, imagine somebody's making choices for you and you're not actually making your own choices. And, you know, I look at that as our conscience, as ourselves making the choice. Like, we're technically the person making the choices. Mm-hmm. But there were some things that made me think of auto choices.
Right.
So there's a lot of things in life where you automatically choose it. So I'll just give you an example. I'm a little bit of a chocoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I love chocolate. Mm-hmm. I love particular brands of chocolate. And if there's chocolate around, it's like a no-brainer. There's no bottom area of saying, eat chocolate or don't eat chocolate. It is auto-select. eat chocolate. And, you know, obviously there's a limit. So if I have one or two pieces of chocolate, eventually that thing comes at the bottom and says, should you have another piece? But the first one is auto.
Right. And if it's multi-brand, what about if it's a Cadbury, whatever.
I'd still select. I'd select the chocolate that I prefer.
Well, so selection comes in then.
Yes, but I just mean, imagine there's one type of chocolate. Imagine it's just Cadbury, for example. That's on the table. It's auto-select, auto-eat. Mm. I will automatically eat it. There's no thought, no choice.
So what you're saying is what you really need to do is have too many choices. Then you're like stuck. And then your conscience really kicks in.
Then you'll actually be able to make modern problems need modern solutions, as Chappelle says. That got me thinking about that a lot, and then about the things that I do in my life that are auto decision. And one of the biggest ones, and I'd say that this is a big theme in Canada as a whole, is the Tim Hortons. The Tim Hortons visit, the Tim Hortons coffee in the morning is an auto decision.
Right.
Do I drink it because it wakes me up, or is it an auto decision? Because I have friends that are trying to talk me into other coffees in the morning because they've tried other ones and are like, you still drink Tim Hortons?
Listen, it's theory time. It's all cocaine. Sprinkle some of that every morning. And they're mixed.
Oh, you think Timmy's is doing that with their coffee?
So when they're roasting them beans, they roast them with extra goodness.
A little extra. Oh my God! Okay. See, I believe that there is some sort of addictive agent that they may have stolen from KFC 20 years ago.
Was it KFC or McDonald's?
I think it both had a good part of it, but where it's just auto, because it's funny. I want to break the habit, but it's really hard to break the habit of going to Tim Hortons all the time. And you know, like I love the concept of supporting a Canadian brand. I know it's not really Canadian owned anymore, but like a Canadian brand was part of it as well. Mm. The actual coffee itself is not really that great, but I'll just say I do feel like I'm waking up a little bit more compared to some of the other ones that do have a better flavor. So, but it's one of those auto decision things, and I still can't figure out if it's because I want to. And then now I'm trying to think of everything that I auto decision, and should I stop?
Yeah.
Should I change that auto decision into a real decision, like taking a second or two, or use your advice, Rafi, of just throwing in more options in the mix just to make you actually think about it. So if I think of three or four brands of like McDonald's, of Aroma, Second Cup, Starbucks, or whatever, is that going to change me? I think the problem is the addictive agent of what you're describing. Well, I hope it's not cocaine. But it would really explain a lot. I do feel a lot better about myself after. And sometimes unnecessarily. After having a Timmy's coffee, it gives me more wings than Red Bull. What is something that you auto-decision?
You know, with me, the auto-decision part of it is a little tough, because anytime I feel like I'm going overboard with something, I always come back to how it is financially. So what I mean by that is how it affects me financially.
Yeah.
So with coffee, for example, I don't do the daily routine walk coffee thing, my Bob, because you know I just it costs a lot. Another thing, and something that's in my religion, we have Ramadan, which is also coming up. By the way. Ramadan is supposed to be, what it's supposed to do is take you out of your comfort zone. It's supposed to detach you from all the things that you do that's constant, and you know you feel like an excess, and then it's supposed to put you in a awkward position where it's supposed to think about what you really do. So for example, with coffee, I used to go for like walk and buy coffee before from wherever. It didn't really matter. I just go buy it.
And
during Ramadan,
just in your routine.
And during Ramadan, I had to stop that.
So
one part was tough, because coffee, when you cut coffee off, it affects you.
Yeah, there's like a withdrawal. It's like heroin.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Oh, cocaine. you know, And during Ramadan, you know, first 2 weeks were hard.
Yes.
Man, like there were I was getting thirsty more. I was getting
really
panicky. I was getting tired by 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then after 2 weeks, it got better. Mm-hmm. But what I also realized was it didn't affect me financially as much.
Yes.
I wasn't spending about $2.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what I quickly realized was, you know, I don't need to do this.
Yes.
You know, I can.
Did you like? So you felt the savings. You felt the difference in savings.
Yeah, felt the difference in savings. That's one part.
Yeah.
And second part, because I've had that choice back, mm-hmm. it made me feel good.
Oh, okay. You know? You basically took control of the auto decision.
Yeah.
So actually, that's a really interesting thing, like that you brought up, because there's a few religions that have times where you sacrifice or give up something, or where you stop
it doesn't have to be a religion thing. No. It's just something that you recognize.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, you just whenever you feel like you're about to make a decision, just look at how it impacts you financially.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's funny. That part of it, it's for some reason I dismiss, because again, the $2 doesn't seem a lot, but after time, you know, it does add up.
Yeah, it adds up.
Right. Yeah. So you know, 20 or 30. What would I do? I'd probably save that or do something else with it. But I think that's
my actual cocaine.
Cut out the middleman.
Like, honestly.
Right? And then, you know, then you're good.
Go straight to the source.
That's a completely different habit and way more expensive in the long run, but at least you broke one habit.
No, but seriously though, you know, when you do put yourself out of your comfort zone, out of your routine,
yes,
there is first an element of withdrawal.
Yes.
And then when you realize, well, you know what, I have control over it.
Yes.
That's a better feeling.
Yeah. So you've a life without coffee. I mean, you still have it once in a while, but you just, it's just not.
I don't know if I've mentioned this in this podcast before, but I used to work in an environment where they didn't have coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, this office did not offer coffee. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that in my life before. So what I used to do is I used to go to Costco and buy the cake cups. You know, they had a coffee machine when you put the cake cup and whatever.
So they had the machine, but no actual coffee.
It's ridiculous. Wow. So I used to go.
That's a tease.
Yeah. So I used to go and buy
coffee teas.
And buy tea. And now I work in an environment where not only do I have coffee, but I have plethora
of options. Yes.
With espresso and just craziness. And what I do now is I never buy coffee.
Okay.
I just don't. I despise it. Whenever I go to coffee chats, I bring like a pop.
Yeah.
Or I bring my own coffee.
You bring something that you had from home, like a bottle of water.
Or I bring my own coffee and say, listen, I don't purchase coffee.
Anymore. Yeah, yeah.
So coffee might be a difficult decision choice thing for me.
Yes.
But when looking back, you know, whenever it comes to making choices for myself, I bring it down to financially.
Well, you know, something for people, if you're in those positions, think about something you might want to. One auto decision you may want to
auto decision stop, that's right? Like
so,
for, yeah.
So that's definitely something I've been thinking about. So I wanted to give it a shot. It's just really like the habit is so entrenched right now.
So are you actually cutting out Tim Hortons?
I'm thinking about it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it just because.
Hey, man, do it for Ramadan.
I was actually thinking that, you know, although I don't necessarily celebrate.
No, you don't have to celebrate
Ramadan, but it's just that time and the theme. And that's the interesting thing about, like, a lot of religions, despite, you know, a lot of issues that I might have with some and some of the messages that are out there, because it's kind of inconsistent, or even just the patriarchal.
But you know, to jump right into it, like, you know, used to smoke. And that's a huge auto decision for everyone.
Yeah,
you eat. We got to get that smoke.
That's true.
And you cut that out easy.
Yes.
So
I won't say it was easy, but
okay, sorry.
I'd say that, yeah. But I had, like, my incentive was different. My kids were really the ones that helped me cut that auto decision out.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, maybe I have to think about my kids. I spend that $20 on them.
Yeah.
Or however much I save on not buying
coffee. Well, what I was going to say, jokingly, was what's more important than kids? It's money. And if you see that extra $20.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
But,
wow, I guess child services. So I'm going to call it advance. If Rafi ever has kids, make sure that his income is good.
No. You see, the only reason why you have kids is for money, because it's this investment that you make up front, hoping to get back in return later.
Kids are not an investment that I have return. Right? The return is.
We have very different value propositions.
What do you plan on doing with your kids when they're putting them to work, having them pay for your mortgage? Isn't that what people do? The look he's giving me, isn't that what people do? Isn't that how you double your savings? And is that how you pay off your mortgage?
You know what? You get that extra credit from the government? Come on, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anyways, we're going to think about your auto decision. I'm going to think about some things out of a decision, see how it goes. I'll maybe give it an update in a little while to see if I've managed to break those habits. One thing I want to ask, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Speaking of Netflix, and it seems a little bit of a Netflix theme here, is did you see the Motley Crue biopic on Netflix that just came out? It's called Dirt. It's based off of a book. It's really, really good. I shouldn't say it's really good. It's the film itself is okay, mm-hmm. but the story is wild.
Yeah.
Of the adventure that these guys go through, and it's that's actually funny. We're talking about auto decisions and addictions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And did you see it?
Nope. So it sounds like I'm just way behind on the times, but I did see the Dirt, and I saw some people talk about how great of a movie or whatever it is.
It wasn't a great of a movie; just the story itself.
Yeah,
like the
documentary, really mockumentary, or it's, biopic, or
it's
whatever.
It's a biopic, but it's kind of like it's not done like a mockumentary, but it's funny. Like they try to make it humorous at times.
Yeah, light. I guess I'm going through a phase of my life where I can't seem to find time.
Really? Yeah. What is it that you're spending your time doing then?
You know what? I just ridiculousness. Work.
Oh, you're studying now. That's why.
And then I come in and do other things around the house before it's 9 and I'm tired. And I just don't have time for these things. And you know what it is? It's also a commitment because what we tried to do is watch this one movie. It came out. It's with Ben Affleck and a whole bunch of good
It's on Netflix. I forgot what it's called, but yes.
You know how long it's taken? We haven't finished it yet. We've tried to watch it through 4 or 5 sitting, and it's not the movie. It's actually an exciting movie. I'd probably finish watching it if I were by myself, but I don't know, man. I feel like.
Called Triple Frontier.
Yeah, Triple Frontier. Yeah. You know, there's so much family stuff happening in my life right now that when I do get free time, it's not watching something. It's just like shutting my eyes and sleeping.
Just resting. Okay, so it's a mixture. It sounds like you're in a mixture of visitation and daily routine. But it's hilarious because I used to feel that way as well. And then I had kids, and I'm like, what the heck was I doing with my time?
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. There's a difference. You're going to look back, and you're like, what was I doing?
Yeah, it's true. I probably will.
Because I remember my mother used to hassle me a lot whenever I'd complain, like, I have no time for da 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 da. She's like, you don't know what no time means.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, I do. And I'm like, she's like,
no. And I'm pretty sure life will change when you have kids. But I'm trying to say is, right now,
just priorities, not watching stuff.
Things are just moving so fast. And when we do get a chance to stop, mm-hmm. it's more about just relaxing. I also mentioned this maybe in this podcast before, when you were traveling to one place to another, point A to point B in Toronto, it just takes forever. And also we're planning a trip right now. We're going to Iceland.
Oh, wow.
Easter long weekend. And nice. So that's been also kind of taking over. But I've heard of Dirt. Mm-hmm. I heard that Dirt was good.
It was a compelling story. It was a compelling story.
It was really good. Actually, I've heard from trusted source is actually amazing. So
I wouldn't use the word amazing.
Well, person said it was.
But I'd say the story. The story is great, but it also brought back some memories for when I toured as well, and asked a lot of. Reminded me of a lot of the questions that come with musicians and what really drives them, and a lot of my friends growing up that would play instruments really played it to meet women.
Yeah.
Like, bottom line. Or as a differentiator, because, nowadays, there's so many different attributes of what makes somebody attractive, and that was just another attribute that somebody would be able to add to their tool belt or their wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And if they became popular enough or they became skilled enough at it, it then became even easier to meet members of the opposite sex as well. And just given the era that we're in right now, that's, more of the online era, mm-hmm. number one, I don't think that what happened to Motley Crue would happen in the same way exactly again, unless you were superstar status.
Yeah.
But for a band that's up and coming and that's coming along, that's touring and stuff like that, there'd be an element of that, but it's just not as crazy as it was. And plus, even with the kind of PC modern perception of things, people with phone cameras, that would have shut a lot of that activity down.
Yeah,
really fast. Right? And I'm sure a lot of like...
So I have a question for you. You said something just right now that you know, got me thinking. You know how guys get into it to meet girls?
Yes.
Generally. Yes. Not all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Do girls get into these things to meet guys?
Into musicianship or like playing instruments?
Yeah.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah. I'd love to ask that question.
Of the women that I've met, no. Of the women musicians that I've
They met, actually love the craft.
It's about
the playing of the music.
It's how it makes them feel.
Maybe come in as a group. They're going to come together as a group and make music, but that's as far as it'll go. It's
like
not
a soccer team.
Yeah. But not, well, yeah.
You get something out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, but not as far as, you know, oh, let's go meet some.
Yeah.
Some out there. Let's go.
This is, you know, when we perform, it's going to be instant action.
Yeah. But how funny would that be?
But you know what the funny part is I'd say that is a power that they may not even know that they have or want to wield. Because I'd say, you know, a lot of the great performers, it makes having that skill or having the ability to perform music is really attractive to men as well. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a muscle they could flex if they wanted.
Imagine.
But I'm sure some of them do. But of the ones that I've met, know that it's less so about that, more so about, and some of them it's about power.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's about getting to a status or proving themselves or stuff like that. So, you know, but again, we're just in a funny, it's funny that difference though. Mm-hmm. And now I have to think, what is it that women do technically to you know, in this, what's the music equivalent of, I'm only really doing it to meet members of the opposite sex or to find a new partner or whatever.
Yeah. Right? We need a woman to answer that question.
I think so. Yeah.
Anything else would be speculative and would be slammed on social media and shut down by the Me Too movement. Just not worth it.
Yeah, I'm not really for it. But
but no, but the reason why I asked the question is I just find it very curious. Maybe it is. Maybe it's been all along. The best, that's their motivation too. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I do have to, again, I feel like I've had that question. I've asked that question of a couple of artists because I asked them, like, as their, you know, do they meet more guys and stuff like that, and they say absolutely yes, but they also said they don't really do it for that.
Imagine if there was a Motley Crue, like the way you're saying, or Motley Crue, Aerosmith, AC/DC, whatever, you know, all these bands that live that lifestyle. But what's Mick Jagger again?
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones, yes. Yeah. All, I can't remember things right now. The you know, all that rock star lifestyle. Imagine, because those are all guys.
Yeah.
Imagine if women had that lifestyle.
But they do. There's a bunch of women that have had that lifestyle. If you look at like Courtney Love and Hole.
Courtney Love a band? Or
she was in a band called Hole.
But there were guys in the band, though. I'm talking about just all female,
like
Spice Girls, but
rock. You know, Haim.
Yeah.
Haim,
Haim is more modern, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. But you're just talking about classic rock. Yeah. So you're wondering if I do have another one. There's the group that sings Cherry Bomb. They were an all girl group. What are they called? Oh, it's gonna bother me now. Anyways, that they were in kind of the pre-punk, around punk period.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually where a lot of female groups. Joan Jett was part of the group as well. It's gonna bother me. The Runaways, I think they're called. Yes, the Runaways.
Yeah, the Runaways. Yeah.
So they were a full-on field. And actually, there's a biopic about them, and their partying was pretty intense as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
So they went pretty much just as hard as the men.
Yeah, but not as okay. So it wasn't as common. You mentioned one.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's for every one, there's like seven.
I know, but I think that's more because of societal norms, right?
Yeah.
Like it before it was traditionally looked at like men. There was a phrase that women couldn't rock for a long time, which was debunked.
That was a huge mistake.
Exactly.
We should let them rock. We should let them free.
Yeah. Again, like we've created some, especially in our modern time. There's some amazing female.
Let's empower them. Let's empower women to go out there and chase guys. Let's do it.
That's your motive. No equality. No right to the same things. That just you know, allow them to have the right to go chase men. Wow.
Let girls be girls.
Well, I'd be women be women.
Yeah.
Right. But
sometimes girls be girls.
But but anyways, it's just kind of an interesting thing that I found within there, and it actually brought back a lot of memories because I'm just gonna tell like a brief story on one of the tours of the, like, when I think of the Motley Crue biopic, on one of the tours that I went on. I'm not gonna mention the band's name. We were really struggling to find a place to sleep. The band was on a very tight budget, had nowhere to sleep.
Yeah, spending all that money on coffee.
Actually, yeah, there were coffee was something that the band bought a lot of. But we were this was within a Canadian tour. I'm actually not going to say the location either, but we were at a particular location in Canada, and we had nowhere to go, and we hung out after their show and ended up at a random person's house. And it was a female, and the female was enamored with the lead singer of the band. And I'll say that the lead singer of the band complied to advances, but this person also lived in a mansion.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it actually was kind of interesting. They didn't live in a full-on mansion. It was like a mansion that was split into four different apartments. So imagine that's still a giant apartment in the in the scope of a mansion. So we ended up staying at their place and actually had one of the most intimate moments with the band that night while the lead singer was occupied. And what it was
making music.
It actually was. Well, he was making music. That's what he was doing.
Yeah. Getting those notes right.
The rest of the band hung out in front of a beautiful fireplace and played like an acoustic set of jazz standards. And it was just kind of wild, right? So, but anyways, we ended up having a place to stay. And he wasn't the type to do this in every location or anything. It's just that was an exception. I think he was interested in them as well, but there was definitely a benefit to doing it.
He took one for the team.
He definitely did. He definitely. And I'll just say that was probably one of the most comfortable sleeps I'd had throughout that tour.
Yeah.
Right. When I was doing video on that tour. But anyway, so that, it is one of those things that is not. I'll just say the bands that I toured with too. They didn't go nearly as hard as Motley Crue, but it brought back some memories of some of the stuff that had gone on, because there were some liberties that were definitely taken. So anyways, I want to give one other quick shout out, and then we can quickly talk about our musical artist that I want to talk about this week. But I wanted to give a shout out to a show that's filmed in Toronto called Working Moms. And Working Moms is starting to get a little more popular now that it's the whole philosophy that you mentioned earlier. You put it on Netflix, you get a cult following.
Yeah.
Right, so it had a decent amount of popularity here anyways, but once it went on Netflix, I think more people know about it. And it's actually a pretty great show of just being a professional woman, having children, being married, all the kind of things that you're pushed and pulled in. I love seeing all the landmarks of the city during the show as well, and some of the neighborhoods they're in. But I highly recommend it. It's a easy to digest as well. I don't think you would enjoy it as much, Rafi, just because it helps to have kids. To kind of identify with it, but if you're a new parent or a parent period, it's a lot of stuff that you'd be able to identify.
I'm so backlogged on Netflix, man. It's just by the time I get to this, I'll probably have kids.
That's true. I don't think that actually that'll be a problem with you, given all the new streaming services that are coming out now. So Apple announced theirs. And,
oh my god, it's just too much content, man.
Well, no, what's going to happen is a lot of stuff is going to end up getting pulled from Netflix.
Yeah.
Right, so Netflix isn't going to be what it used to be.
No, but then they just have to go transfer over to another platform. It's so annoying, man. Now you have to pay. It becomes what, you know, what's going to happen?
We've talked about this before. It's going to be your cable bill.
Right, but you'll just go back to cable because it's all in one place. No, I'm serious, because then it's going to be one bill versus multiple things that come out of your car. You're going, what the hell is going on?
When was the last time I actually watched
Chris? And then they'll scale up, and you go back to Bell or Rogers. It's just stupid.
You think that's what the cable companies are banking on?
Yeah.
So anyways, Working Moms, local, was really cool. I'm really, really enjoyed it. It's one of those shows that's out there. The writer and creator is not Canadian, but most of the supporting cast that you'll see in the show is local, which is kind of cool. So local jobs, local filming, all that kind of stuff. At least we have more than just Suits. That's thing. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff filmed in Toronto, but you know, of the shows that are kind of big. Last thing I want to talk about the musical artist this week, and the one that I've kind of enjoyed. This guy's a little bit of a hero for me lately. He's almost like if you took Lonely Island and like live looping and put it all together, so that it's kind of performance, kind of cabaret, but then very pleasing to listen to. It's a guy named Marc Rebellier, who's from the U.S., I believe. And yeah, he's. Did you watch any? His YouTube videos are actually particularly entertaining.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I read reviews. I read a lot, as you can see.
But you seem to read over experience, which is. I can send you some photos, and I can go to Iceland for you.
Yeah.
Tell you how it is.
You're right, I could. It would save me a lot of money, but, you know, I don't make decisions in my life anymore. You know? Like, you know, your auto decision?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't do those.
So did you listen to any of his stuff? You just read reviews on it?
I read reviews.
And what did the reviews say, Ravi?
They're very funny, and you know, he's very talented about how he loops stuff.
So
he makes it light and funny. I don't know.
Absolutely. So, give you an idea of live looping. Mm-hmm. I actually have a live loop that I did.
He did 1,000 loops or something.
He's done a lot.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of loops. But this is an example of a lot. So, what you do is you start out with one layer. So I'll start playing that. Hopefully, it works. Should work. Hold on. Got to reload it. Give me a second. There we go. Right, so you start out with one layer. This is an example of a layer. And then you'll throw in something else in real time. Here it goes. So this is the next layer. And then you'll throw in another layer above that. And he does this all live and performs it completely live, which is pretty cool. So anyways, he does this live, but the other element to him that makes him kind of my hero is he throws in skits, but then talks about personal life, mundane stuff, and makes fun of stuff. And he'll mess with his voice, so he'll sound like a female or a male while he's playing out a skit completely on his own. There's one entire skit on one of his albums that's just about a husband and wife that are having dinner, and the husband asks, you know, why aren't you eating your asparagus? And the wife's like, you know what? I should, what, do you want me to be happy? I should be thrilled. You know what? I'm thrilled. We're going out to a dinner we can't afford. And then she ends up going into a huge rant about how he's not working and how he's not making enough money, and she makes a huge scene within the restaurant as well. And it kind of makes you step back, and not that I've had that exact discussion, but you think back of all the arguments and silly arguments that you may have as a couple that almost prevent you from enjoying life because of stress. And I don't mean to live irresponsibly. I don't think, you know, obviously I think people should be paying their mortgages and taking care of stuff like that. But, you know, there's going to be bumps that you hit once in a while, and you can't let it stress out your relationship too much or take over. There's other ones where he talks about the mundane decision that is very modern for us of, do you choose iPhone or do you choose Android? And the whole song is just, is it iPhone, is it Android, is it iPhone? And it's back and forth, and midway he's like, let's just stop. it doesn't matter, both are great phones, it's not going to make a huge difference to your life. Go out and buy it. Don't spend 4 months looking into it, and just enjoy the phone. And then right at the end, he's like, but Android's better, though. So, anyways, he's really... And the other thing that really impressed me was that he went on tour and had... had like 30 dates he was doing on tour in Europe, and in each hotel he stayed in, each night he would make a new beat and song, and then they were each, some of them were like not that funny, some of them were hilarious, but he generally did it completely in his underwear and a t-shirt. And he's got his loop set up, and he's doing his whole performance. And just last thing I want to talk about, just regarding like one of his skits that he did there, I think it was in Manchester. It starts out with like the person in the hotel. He's pretending to be the person. Like, welcome to Manchester Hotel. We can give you a tour, and you'll find there's a lot of rich history in the hotel. Lots of stuff for you to look into and to learn about where you are. And then a person's like, excuse me, sorry, I just have a question. could you shut up? But he says it a lot more harshly than that.
Wow.
With a huge beat, he's like, I just want to find out about how to party in the hotel.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about anything else. But the funny thing is, and the reason why I found that hilarious, is that happened to me when I was in Collingwood. There was a couple of guys that were ahead of me in line, and I was like, you guys don't look like the normal guys that would be here to go skiing in Collingwood.
Right.
And when they didn't say exactly what this person said, what Mark Rumbly they said, but I pictured them saying it.
Yeah.
I need alcohol. I need to know where the party is. I need to know where all this kind of stuff is. So, anyways, not all of his humor is perfect.
Yeah.
Some of it is you know, he definitely toes the line, and I don't agree with all of his humor. But the fact that this guy, he quit his job at like, I think his early 30s, after 10 years of working corporate, he got fired. So he didn't quit. He got fired. And then...
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I really do wonder why.
Sounds like he has some issues with focus.
Yeah. Focus or just his comedy may have been too much. Dude, imagine doing a presentation. Doing a loop.
Exactly. For a presentation. Doing the two different
points. You're going through your deck and you're just like.
So I'm just going to give you an example of what a customer's response would be to this. I think your product's garbage. Yeah. So anyways,
I can see it now, actually. That's no wonder.
So he then looked at it as an opportunity to start this path. And I find what's interesting about him, too, is just the growth he's gotten on YouTube and on social. And it's because he was putting out these, like, daily beats that he was creating. So that mixed with the comedy, mixed with, like, just all together, he's kind of on a different level. Mm. Anyway, so I'll play you one of his songs. This is a song that... I think it's called I Need You, that I discovered him with, and this song sounds more like a Mayor Hawthorne song.
Okay.
But it's pretty enjoyable. So anyways, this is Marc Rebouillet. If you want to find out more about him, check out his videos as well. But here's a sample of Marc Rebouillet.
Baby, you've been on my mind for so long. Oh, I need you.
Marc Rebouillet. We will have some more discussion about some restaurant escapades coming soon. There is one that I've been waiting to just kind of put out. It's just been a lot of other stuff in life, as Rafi has been mentioning. It's been going on, so we will be bringing back some restaurant recos. But otherwise, I want to thank everybody for sticking around, mm-hmm. for staying to the end.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Appreciate everything.
Hope listening to us is an auto decision for you.
It is. Yeah. So hopefully we become an auto decision. Because if we do...
Because there's no financial benefit for anyone. No.
let's be honest here.
It's real here. if your decision is based on financial needs, no financial decisions here.
Yeah. Okay. No, sounds awesome. Anyways.
So cute to leave.
Exactly. Kick us out. But otherwise, if you want to check us out, we're on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Instagram, check us out there. Reach out to us there. And otherwise, my name is Larry.
Mm-hmm. I'm Rafi.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.